All right, let's come to God's word today. You know, in life you will find in school and in college there are two kinds of teachers. Okay? There's one kind that's like this. They set a paper that's very difficult. And their aim is to see you falter and to fall. They don't want to see you succeed. They'll give some obscure question, something that is not clear, that can confuse you. Have you had those kind of teachers? Yes. All right? You know? And it's terrible. So they're just trying to trip you up. They're not there for your good, you know, and that's what they're doing. And that's terrible. On the other hand, you have another kind of teacher who's saying, my aim is to help you succeed. All right? And sometimes what they do is this. They say, okay, this is the beginning of the term. Here is the question paper for the final exam. Wow. All right? Doesn't that sound like good news? But they said, listen, no, I'll tell you what. When I was in college, we had a teacher who said, open book exam. You can take your books to the thing. The book was this thick, you know. But you won't be able to solve it unless you have understood everything. Okay? And so there are these kind of teachers who say, look, you're going to get one question from this and this and this and this and this. It covers everything. Okay, if you've studied, you're going to crack it. It's not going to be any tricky questions, nothing confusing. If you know the matter, you will succeed. Okay, and they're not there to trick you. They want you to succeed. Now, in life, we're going to see that one day, we're going to stand and be evaluated, not by a teacher, not by an examiner, but by God Himself. Do you know that? Okay? And in the Bible, we've been going through grace, and this is also part of grace, that there are up to 7 different judgments written in the Bible. And today, I'm going to just quickly talk about one and then jump on to the other one. Okay, so turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. No, we'll go further down. Verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Can we turn to that? Now, this is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay, this is happening at the end of time. You see, the Bible is clear. Time is linear. The world will start in eternity. One day, things on earth will come to an end when Jesus returns. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's gone up into heaven. But one day he will come back and the world would end. And then it talks about this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. Next verse. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Okay, let's get this clear. Every man, woman, child, everybody who's ever lived is going to stand before this great white throne judgment. All right? Books were opened. What kind of books were opened? Tells us what? The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. So two sets of books. One is the book of life. One is other books. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Okay? Now, you know, every time we do something, we say something, we think something, God records everything in a set of books. One day, we will stand before God. It says there, he was so great that earth and sky fled from his presence. That's the Almighty God. All right? And books were opened, and people were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Okay. That means, like in a court of law, each one stands there. Okay, your name is read out. And there's the book. And said, this is what you did, and this is what you did, and this is what you did. It will not be like our courts in India or in other parts of the world where evidence can disappear, where lawyers can make a crook sound like a saint. You know what they do that. That's what they do. You know? And they can manipulate things and fool the judge and cheat the system. But here nobody will be able to cheat God. All right? Let's go on. Next one. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Now, that's all the bad news. Okay? The good news is, if you have trusted in Jesus, this judgment is not for you. Isn't that good news? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Turn the next verse. If anyone's name, next verse, 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So the people whose names are written in the book of life, they are spared this judgment. Oh, that's going to be the most horrendous judgment. But if you have trusted in Jesus, believed in him as God who rose from the dead, who died on the cross for our sins, you will not face this judgment. Okay? So if anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And so the book of life is a book which is the names of all those who have trusted in Jesus. And it says, if your name is there, then this judgment is not for you. Wow. Isn't that a relief? Okay, so let's be clear about that. So this is it. Okay, next one. Verse 16. Okay, now let's go to the next chapter. Not next chapter, but next thing. What about believers? Okay, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and this is what he tells them. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Okay? Now here, Paul is addressing believers. And he's saying, those who have trusted in Jesus, we have another judgment. Okay? And don't get scared with the word judgment, because I'll come to that in just a minute. Okay? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive from him what is done in the body, whether good or bad. Look at Romans 14, verse 10. Similar verse. "You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." All right? So whenever we see the word judgment, we can club everything together. But there are different judgments. There's the judgment of the believer, which is different from the judgment of the unbeliever. Okay? Let's pray this morning. Come. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word, which is living and eternal. I pray that your grace will be upon us to understand your word. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds. Lord, your word is living and active. May it convince and convict us and help us to be strengthened and built up as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So first thing to be clear, the great white throne judgment is not for us. Okay? That's good news. Jesus has died. The penalty for our sins has been paid. We do not go to hell. Praise God for that. If there is anybody who's not yet put their faith in Jesus, I want to urge you. Today is the day of salvation. All your sins, past, present, and future, can be forgiven if you believe in Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's the only way. Okay? Salvation is found in no other name but the name of Jesus. Now, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, what does it mean? Last week, we looked at the fact, and the week before, that we are justified before God. That means God has declared us forgiven. God has declared us righteous. The righteousness of Jesus has been credited to us. Wow. And that's the basis of our going to heaven. Okay? I'm going to heaven. Not because of my good deeds, because of what Jesus has done. Clear? You're going to heaven because of what Jesus has done, not because of your good deeds. So we're clear about that. Secondly, we looked at last week, said that, so we go to heaven. But then can we live any which way we want to? No. Jesus lived that way. Paul said this. He says, make it my desire to please God. So we need to live in a way that pleases God. Okay? Pleasing God is different from His love for us. His love for us is eternal. It's unconditional. It's unchanging. You can't make him love you more or make him love you less. That's fixed. But how we live determines if we please him. And we spent a lot of time last week looking at different scriptures that spoke about that. Just a couple of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul writing, just before he speaks about the judgment seat, he says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So he's saying, the way we live now on earth is my goal is how can I please God? That's how it is. Okay, not how can I make God love me more? No, he loves me. But how can I do things that are pleasing to him? Colossians 1 verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. And that we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So God is saying, I've saved you, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, but now live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. That's not automatic. That's something we have to do. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We are bearing fruit, doing good works, and also growing in the knowledge of God. Okay? IDT next week is an opportunity to grow in the knowledge of God. Okay. So let's go on. So we've got to live lives that are pleasing to God. Now, at the end of our lives, when Jesus comes, Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 22. He says, behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Everybody say that word. Reward. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Now, friends, we've got to get this. Okay? Our salvation is free. We do nothing to earn our salvation or deserve our salvation. Okay? But this is the key bit. Jesus says, I'm coming, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to what he has done. Okay? So at the end of time, when Jesus returns, okay, we don't have time to get into the rapture, but we'll be caught up with him in the air if we are still alive. The believers who've believed in Jesus and have died will join us together in the air, and then we will be with the Lord forever. All right? And at that time, Jesus is coming with his reward, and that's the judgment spoken about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. So we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All right? Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, just to look at that verse. You know, when we hear the word judgment, do you like that word? It's like, I don't want to be judged. Whenever you face some kind of thing, because why are we? Because we're fearful about how we've done, isn't it? But today, I want to reassure you, okay? This judgment, the word used here is the word bima, okay? Bima, the judgment seat of Christ. And what it means is, it's not a judging of our sins. Some people think, Jesus, our sins have already been judged at the cross. They have been forgiven, okay? So our sins do not play anything on this. But think of this as an appraisal or an evaluation. Okay? And so what Jesus is doing here is when he returns, he's saying, I've brought my rewards with me and I'm going to give to each one. So it's an evaluation time where he wants, think of a bonus time. You know, when you work in a company, you get bonus, right? Do you like a bonus? Yes. Okay, you worked and you're hoping I'll get a good bonus. And different ones may get different bonuses. And that's what it is. It's not a punishment, but it's a time of reward. Okay? Does that reassure you now? Isn't that good news? Yeah, so this judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, is a time of reward. Okay? It's a time where we're going to be given a bonus, a reward. It's not a punishment. Okay. And the word is taken from the ancient Greeks, the Greeks where, you know, think of the Olympic Games or the other games that they had, where they had a high platform. And people who contested in the games and won were then led to that high platform. It was a place of honor. Okay? It was not standing in the court where you're standing in that block and the judge pronounces judgment. It's not that picture. Okay? Think of the picture of, say, the Olympic Games or some games. They have that prize stand there, right? One, two, victory stand. And you're called. All right. Glory, please come. Oh, wow. Meher, please come. You know, you're going to the victory stand. The good news is, it's not only for glory and meher and now. Okay? All of us will get our turn. So the great thing about this judgment is that everybody will be rewarded. Isn't that good news? Wow, that's great. Okay? So because Jesus said, even if you give a cup of water to somebody, you will be rewarded. Wow. Okay, so this is very reassuring that God wants to bless us. And so we'll stand before this judgment seat of Christ or the appraisal seat of Christ. And the intention is not to bring up our sins. The sins have been buried in the sea. The intention is to reward us for how we've lived in the body. Okay? So does it matter how we live? Yes, it does matter. Now, imagine if you were told that the way you live the next 24 hours on earth, the next 24, how you spend those hours, okay, will determine the next 100 years of your life. How would you live the next 24 hours? Carefully. Wow, those 24 hours, you know, are going to determine the next 100 years. I better live carefully. And really, what God is saying is, our time on earth will not determine the next 100 years or the next 1,000 years, but will determine the next million and billions and zillions of years. Wow. So it's so important how we live each day. Now, the good thing is, Jesus is like that teacher who tells us what's coming for the exam. He's not trying to trick us. He's written in his book and saying, listen, one day you're going to be evaluated by how you live, and I'm going to show you what you need to do. All right? I'm going to show you. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to look at this in more detail. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. Next verse, keep going. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Okay, just stop there. So he's talking to Christians and he's saying there are two kinds of Christians. There are baby Christians and there are mature Christians. He's not talking about unbelievers here. They're out of the equation. He's talking among Christians. There are baby Christians where all they can handle is milk. Okay, and Paul is saying, y'all are worldly. Y'all are baby Christians. I want to give you food, meat, but you guys can just handle milk. All right, next verse. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Keep going. For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So what is Paul saying? He's saying, hey, you Corinthian Christians, y'all are worldly, y'all are babies in Christ, okay? Y'all need to be mature, okay? But y'all are not there yet. Y'all are, there's jealousy, there's quarreling, there's factionalism. One group was saying, I'm with Paul. Another group was saying, I'm with Apollos. And there was jealousy and bad relationships. And he's saying that is a mark of immaturity. Go on, next verse. Okay, keep going. What after all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom we came to believe as the Lord has assigned each to his task. Okay, go on. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, God made it grow, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything but only God who makes things grow. Next, keep going. Okay. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Okay, so here Paul is saying, listen, don't fight, don't be partial, be united. Don't quarrel. Why? He says, because we are all God's fellow workers in God's field. Each has a role to play and each will be rewarded. Keep going. Next one. Now, this is the crux of the situation. He says, by the grace of God, I laid a foundation as an expert builder and someone else is building on it. Okay? So Paul is saying, I have laid a foundation. You know, those who are into construction, you know that before you can build a building, what do you need to build? The foundation. So Paul is saying the foundation in a believer's life has been laid. And he said, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. We'll come to that. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation of our Christian walk is Jesus Christ. All right? That's laid by when we came to faith. We trusted in Jesus, we believed, that's the foundation. Now, you have a responsibility to build. Each one should be careful how he builds. That means with what we've been given, we've got to do something. We've got to build. Okay, next verse. Now, he talks about how can we build on this foundation. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. Okay? So what he's saying is each one has an opportunity to build. We are building on this foundation, but the day, which is that day, the judgment seat of Christ. That day, when believers stand before Jesus, how we've built and what we've built will come to be, will bring to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Okay, what is going to happen? This is what's going to happen. You're saved. Wonderful. Now God says, I want you to build, work out your salvation. Build on what I've given you. Gifts, talents, abilities, time, treasure, talent has been given to each one of us. Different measures. Okay? What are you going to do with what God has given you? And he's saying, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test each man's work. And then he gives us an example. Keep going. Next verse. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Now imagine if you build a little house, all right? You can build it with wood. You can build it with straw, hay. You can put a little bit of gold, silver, and precious stones. And then you pour gasoline over it and light it. What's going to be burnt up? Wood, straw, hay, all that will be burnt up. What is made, built with gold and precious stones will survive. Okay? So Paul is saying, in our lives, that is what is going to happen. At that judgment seat, metaphorically speaking, how we've lived our lives is going to be tested by fire. And what we have built, if it survives, That's our reward. Okay. So, each one of us will be tested in that way. This is not talking about earth. This is talking about heaven, judgment seat of Christ. Look at this. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. What does it mean, he will suffer loss? Does it mean he'll go to hell? Does it mean he'll go to hell? No. Okay, no. See, it says there, he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Okay? So we are not talking about salvation here. It's talking about rewards. So Paul is saying, how we've lived our lives is being recorded. Okay? And as we've lived, it's like we're building a house. Each one is building their own house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Gold, precious stones, silver, wood, hay, stubble. On the day, the great day, it will be tested with fire. Okay? If what we have built survives, that's our reward in heaven. But if it is burnt up, you know, it's like this. You know, you may have seen this in movies. Somebody's sleeping and there's a fire in the house, and what happens? The whole house is burned down and the man just manages to escape in his vest and his shorts. That's all. Everything else is burned down. And that's the picture that Paul is saying. He's saying, you will be saved. You're going to heaven. But you're going to miss out on the rewards that are there. Okay? And so Paul is saying, hey, people, I want you to live in such a way so that you will get rewards. Okay? Would you like to build with rewards? Okay, so as your pastor today, my aim is to instruct you, to inform you, and to exhort you that this is the final exam, friends. Okay? This is the final exam. Can we look at the next verse? Okay, where one day our lives will be evaluated. Okay, don't you know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit lives with you? And so Paul is saying, listen, we're being chosen by God. God's Spirit is in us. Okay, we are eternally saved, but how we live on earth today matters greatly. It will determine eternity. Okay? Paul says in another verse that he says, God will judge not just our actions, not just our deeds, he will judge the motives of our hearts. That is so tough, brothers and sisters. You know, he spoke about the Pharisees. He said, the Pharisees, when they give to the poor, what do? They announce it with trumpets, bam, bam, whatever that sound is. And everybody looks, what's happening? And he says, I'm giving 5 rupees to the poor. And everybody's looking at them. And Jesus says, they have already received their reward. Okay? That's it. So he's saying, so we may even do good things, but if the motive is wrong, it's gone, burnt up. And so I want to encourage us this morning to live lives in such a way that we are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay? And let's look at a few verses this morning about how can we live for these rewards. Okay, so just for us to know very briefly is this. When we stand before that throne, it's going to be a fair judgment. Jesus is 100% righteous. There's no partiality. Okay? Fair judgment. We will be individually judged. That means each person individual. All right? And we will be judged thoroughly. It says he will disclose the motives of our hearts. All right. Now, this morning I'm going to give us a few ways in which we can build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, 11 and 12. How we handle injustice and suffering, how we handle injustice and suffering will determine our reward. Okay, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Okay, the first thing, have you faced injustice? You face injustice, we face persecution. You know, today we see in different parts of India, pastors and churches burned down, beaten up, attacked. And what Jesus is saying is, when that happens, you are blessed. All right? When people insult you because of Jesus, you are blessed. Because great will be your reward in heaven. Wow. And so, when I mean, this is totally countercultural. Jesus is saying, rejoice, leap for joy. Great. So we've got to keep our perspective. Okay? Let's look. So how we handle injustice is very important. Second thing, hospitality. Luke chapter 14, 12 to 14. I already spoke earlier about giving a cup of water to somebody. Now it's, you know, and that's good, but it's more than a cup of water. Then Jesus said to his disciples, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Next verse. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. How will we be blessed? Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, you know, we can have friends who are similar to us, economic background, social background, educational background. We invite them, they invite us, and you enjoy their company, and that's great. But Jesus is saying, hey, invite those who cannot repay you back. All right? Do that. And he's saying, when we do that, you will be repaid. They may not be able to repay you back, but when will you be repaid? At the resurrection of the righteous. Okay, so it's so important that we extend hospitality to people who cannot be hospitable back to us again, but we are doing it for Jesus. Okay, Matthew 10, 42. Yeah. Okay. So even a cup of cold water, a meal, and all these things will give us an eternal reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Okay, I'm going to give you another one. How many feel that they're working for a boss or a company where they are not recognized sufficiently, not rewarded sufficiently? Anybody want to share that? Yeah? All right. So we may be in a situation where you're working in the company, but you feel, I need to be paid so much, but I'm being paid so much. Okay, this other person who's doing nothing is getting the promotion, the bonuses, and whatever. What do we do? Well, you know what we need to do? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. If you get this verse, it'll change the way you work in the most horrible office. Whatever you do, okay, it's not just talking about things in the church. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. All right? So whichever company you're working for is saying, work at it as you're working for God, not for men. Why? Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So Jesus is saying, you just work faithfully for a horrible boss, you do your job well, God, you may not be rewarded in the company, but Jesus is saying, I'm noting it, one day when you stand before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, you will be rewarded. Amazing. All right? Let's look at another one before we end. You know, of course, we've got prayer and fasting. You know, we've seen in Matthew 6:6 where he says, when you pray, go into your closet, pray, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Same thing about fasting. Don't proclaim, everybody, I'm fasting today. You know, wash your face, oil on your head, look bright and cheerful, fast, and the Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And of course, giving is always there. He says, when you give, given secret, Father who sees what you know, what you do, will be rewarded. Okay, and we can go into many more, but let's bring it all together. Jesus wants to reward you. That's his heart. His heart is to reward you. Ephesians 2:10 says he has prepared good works for us in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10 or 20. Yeah, or 10. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Have you played those video games, you know, where you have to collect gold coins or points, you know that? And suddenly out of the blue things pop up from this way, bonus points, and you've got to go and be quick and get it. Okay? Our Christian life is like that. God has prepared good works for us to do. Our job is to say, Lord, what's a good work you've prepared for me to do today? Okay? And don't be involved with self and say, what can I do? What do you want me to do? Serve? Give somebody a lift? Invite somebody for a meal? Share the gospel with somebody? Visit the sick? You know? Handle injustice at my workplace or other place? Love the unlovely? You know? Invite people to stay at my home? There's a whole list of good works. And we need to keep our eye on the reward. Because the wonderful promise is that one day, when he comes back, he's bringing his reward with him. Matthew 16:27 says the same thing. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. For the Son of Man is coming in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. In view of all this, how did Paul live? Okay, how did he live? He says, "1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just turn to that. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Next verse. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Next verse. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So the Christian life is not a cakewalk. It's a race. It's a thing of endurance. But God wants us to persevere till the end, to put in effort. Like imagine if you've been selected to run to represent India in the Olympics in the 100 meters or the marathon. What will you do? You've got to train now. Not try, you've got to train. You say, what can I do? Paul says, I beat my body. Does it mean getting up early? Does it mean fasting? Does it mean hospitality? Does it mean serving? Yeah, it's going to be painful. But he's saying, hey, you will not lose your reward. Amen. And for those who are weary and tired, Paul says, do not lose heart. Let us not give up. Okay? Because if we persevere, we will receive a reward. Let's pray this morning. Okay? I pray that our mind will be changed. That we look at every opportunity to get hold of this reward. All right? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've called us to receive eternal rewards, more than we can ask or imagine or understand. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, but God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, I pray for each one of us at Word of Grace that we would be a people who would seek after those rewards, would want to live lives that please you. Lord, we will look for opportunities to give, serve, to do good works, to endure hardship, and ridicule and insults and persecution. Oh Lord, help us to live lives worthy of the gospel and to please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, because we want a great reward, Lord. Lord, we can't do it apart from your Holy Spirit. Would you help us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I pray that we live lives differently from now on. All right? Look and say, where can I get my reward?